Our Father, we do pray that we would indeed hear your word for what it really is, the word that gives life in Christ. Amen. You hypocrite, you child of hell, you blind guide. I can see from Glenys's face that's obviously very strong language with which to begin a sermon. You might think, is it really needed? Is it appropriate? Well, actually, I'm just giving you a trigger warning, as we might call it today, of what is to come from Jesus himself. That is a flavour of the language he uses in our reading this morning from Matthew's Gospel. Presumably, therefore, Jesus wants us to hear it, to take it seriously. So do turn with me to Matthew 23, page 999. Matthew 23, and we pick it up at verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing, but if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing, but if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it, and whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. Whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. So we're in Jerusalem. You'll remember last week we heard Jesus beginning, didn't he, to tell the crowds and the disciples what the religious hierarchy, these scribes and Pharisees, were really like. Do you remember what we saw? He exposed that in fact they refused to serve others. Their ambition was in fact to draw attention to themselves. Well, last week we heard Jesus speak forcefully, but it turns out he was only warming up. Because now in the rest of chapter 23, he has seven woes for these scribes and Pharisees. And this morning we're looking at the first three. We get a very accurate sense right from how he begins. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. No one likes being called a hypocrite. We sense it's strong. And Jesus repeats it again and again. So what does he mean? Well, the word literally means to play act. And last time we saw, didn't we, Jesus told the Pharisees that they didn't practice what they preached. They said one thing and did another, or they simply didn't do what they talked about. And as we go through these verses today, we'll see that sharpened up some more, what Jesus means by hypocrisy. In particular, these scribes and Pharisees made much of the scriptures. That's what they were known for. The impression they gave was that they took the Bible very seriously as the way to live to please God. But that's precisely what they didn't do. They didn't listen to the scriptures, which meant they didn't take the God of the scriptures at all seriously. And this is a danger. And so Jesus wants to expose their hypocrisy for us to pay attention. So how does Jesus do that? Well, first he shows that these Pharisees are blocking the way to God's kingdom. Here's a question for you. Have you ever had a door slammed in your face? Well, with that in mind, verse 13. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Now, Matthew's gospel has been all about the arrival of the king, the long-awaited promised king, from God. And he's come, we've seen, to usher in the kingdom, to call others, anyone, to enter, to enjoy the blessings of life in the kingdom. Do you remember the very first beatitude? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And what's more, we've seen Jesus made it clear this is what the whole Bible is about. He says he's come to fulfill God's great plan, stretching all the way back to Abraham, running right through the scriptures for the nations to be blessed. That's all now kicking in because the King is here. He can bring that forgiveness that we need to enter and enjoy the kingdom. And then Jesus says here, the Pharisees shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. So they're very religious, there's lots of Bible talk, but all that, they themselves are not in God's kingdom. And as if that were not bad enough, they were stopping others from entering. You might say, well, how are they doing this? But actually, it's very obvious by this stage. We've heard Jesus say, haven't we, in Matthew's gospel, come to me and I will give you rest. Jesus is quite simply the way into the kingdom. And yet we've seen the Pharisees refuse to recognize Jesus as king. Worse, they're trying to trap him, do everything they can to stop him, to get rid of him, and to make sure others don't go after him. Well, let's fast forward to today for a moment. It still happens, doesn't it, that lots of people who wouldn't usually attend church then decide to go for all sorts of reasons. I mean, we'll know them from people we are in touch with. Maybe they just want to reconnect with something from their childhood. Maybe they've begun to realize that all the world shouts so confidently, well, doesn't actually make sense. Or maybe they've come to feel life's emptiness or wonder, is there more? Maybe they're suffering, even despairing, and don't know where to turn, so they go to church. That is, for whatever reason, these people are ready to listen. But then what do they hear? Either from that churchy person up the front, or maybe even from those in the pews that they meet. Is it fine-sounding words that in effect are no more than mere platitudes? Or do they actually hear about the latest political project or progressive agenda? They're dressed up, of course, with a reference to God, even to his kingdom. Or maybe what is said is actually just simply incomprehensible, and they leave none the wiser about anything. We can say that whatever they hear, it is simply not pointing plainly and simply to Christ, to the King of the kingdom. The news of what he has done for all the world is just not heard at all. So what is actually happening? Well, someone is approaching, but the door of the kingdom is being slammed in their faces. Well, Jesus says, woe to those who do that. So hypocritically, the scribes and the Pharisees are blocking the way to God's kingdom. Second, we see here, they are leading the way to God's judgment. So now let's imagine the missionary's latest prayer letter comes through, you open it up, and the tone is one of, well, quite some excitement because there's converts to report, and you're invited to rejoice with them as they share this news. Well, look down to verse 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. So it's worth recognizing the problem with these religious leaders was not their lack of zeal. They weren't lazy. It wasn't that they were doing nothing. In fact, quite the opposite. It's fair to say they were getting off their backsides and trekking across land and sea, even crossing cultures, taking the scriptures with them. It would have been a huge undertaking in the first century world, maybe even more than today. And let's not forget, Jesus is all for mission. Do you remember the last words of the risen Jesus recorded in Matthew's gospel? All authority has been given to me, he says. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. That is the task, the priority that Jesus gives to his followers. And Jesus recognizes that these Pharisees would be able to report success if by that you simply meant proselytes, numbers, converts, signing up to the cause. Except, says Jesus, don't you realize what is happening? They've only succeeded, he says, in making these people twice as much a child of hell as themselves. I mean, a child of hell, Jesus says. It is, of course, dark. It is shocking. What are we to make of it? Well, plenty today, even within the church, will deny the reality of hell. And in fact, if they talk about it, they'll even portray a sense of, well, how virtuous they are, because they think as if a loving God could do that, they say. But when people say that, they are showing that, like these Pharisees, they're just not listening. Ironically, isn't it? People complain that the Old Testament is full of judgment. Well, why do you think it's there? Aren't they listening? And then move through to the New Testament. And sometimes people say, I prefer the God of love of the New Testament. Well, God is remarkably loving. But again, are you reading and listening to the New Testament? If anything, the reality and sobering nature of God's judgment is heightened in the New Testament. We've heard it, haven't we, all through Matthew's Gospel, from the lips of Jesus himself, describing what the future holds for those who are still in their sins. Of course, there's no glee with this, as Jesus says it, nothing blasé, it's deep compassion. Jesus is giving a warning because he does not want people to end up there. And of course, in the midst of this, this is actually why Jesus came into the world, he's told us. It's why he's determined to go to the cross, to take that judgment, so that his people's sin could be taken away and they would never have to face it. And yet, as things stand, these religious leaders and Pharisees, Jesus says, are children of hell. And by their efforts, they are leading others in the same direction. So again, we might ask, well, how could the Pharisees get it so wrong? Well, again, the end of Matthew's Gospel will help us. Do you remember the charge the risen Jesus gives in that great commission? He says, all authority has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. In one sense, it's quite simple. Pass on the words of Jesus. But we've seen the Pharisees reject Jesus and his teaching. So they certainly weren't passing it on. So whatever they were talking about was having disastrous consequences. Notice how these first two woes clearly go together. And it helps us understand that entering the kingdom, well, it's not about accessing a religious club. It's not about a hobby for those who like that sort of thing. To shut the kingdom's door in someone's face is far more serious, because eternal destinies are at stake. Outside the kingdom, hell awaits. Now, Jesus and all the scriptures are plain on this. And so to serve others is to warn them like Jesus did, but the Pharisees don't. The Pharisees are too busy serving themselves, even as they cross land and sea. Hypocrites, says Jesus. Woe to them, he says. So they're blocking the way to God's kingdom. They are leading the way to God's judgment. Third, they are lying their way in God's world. Verse 16, woe to you blind guides who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. Also verse 18, and you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. I mean, what do you make of those two? And no doubt those were just excerpts. Jesus could have given far more. It's a little hard to follow, isn't it, to work out. So come again, what is allowed and what isn't? What do I have to do? And as we struggle to follow, maybe we look at the Pharisees and go, well, but they get it. Maybe that shows they really are clever. But Jesus wants us to know, no, not so much. In fact, verse 16, blind guides. Verse 17, you blind fools. Verse 19, you blind men. So these Pharisees give off the impression of great insight. They can't even see the basics. Let's just jump to the summary verse, really, verse 22. Jesus says, whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God, by him who sits upon it. So Jesus, in the end, directs their attention and ours to God, who sits on the throne, having created heaven and earth and everything in it. Now, that's a very basic, foundational Bible truth. It's there in the very first sentence of the Bible. And that is the basis for the fact that in reality, these Pharisaical distinctions between the temple and the gold of the temple and the altar and the gift on the altar, when it comes to oaths and making promises, count for nothing. They're just nothing there. Because rather, if we've understood who God is and he is Lord of heaven and earth, well, anything we say, whatever we promise, is done before God himself. It's not the first time Jesus addressed this issue. You might remember from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this: let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more comes from the evil one. So despite how the Pharisees want to put it, in fact, it's simple. But in their blindness, the Pharisees just can't see it. We might ask, well, how did these religious experts get themselves into such a tangle? And again, the answer is very simple, isn't it, and clear. They just weren't paying attention to the scriptures, even as they supposedly valued them so much. You read the scriptures, what's very obvious, not only that God is Lord of heaven and earth, but that God is a God of truth. He makes it plain, he cares about truth. He wants his people to be people of the truth. It's there in the Ten Commandments and many, many other places. And then Jesus has come to speak the truth, to make everything plain. But the Pharisees won't listen. And I think we're meant to reflect on it. And of course, therefore, it's not just an intellectual misunderstanding. All this is very deliberate. Why do the Pharisees come up with their complicated systems of when swearing really kicks in? Because, of course, they are liars. They want to take advantage of others. Now, of course, they don't want to be known as liars, so they come up with this evasive religious categories to justify it. But as we reflect on that, we realize, again, there are parallels today, in fact, all over the place. We've just had a general election. Who meant what by what they said? Is that a straight answer or not? We could think of the corporate world. We could think of the legal world. Each of them have their ways, don't they, of evading the truth and its implications, not being held to what they seemingly promise. And let's be honest, we personally too have our ways. But Jesus says for his followers, yes and no must be enough. Say it, mean it, live by it. So we've heard this morning then these first three woes for the scribes and the Pharisees. Why has Matthew recorded them for us? Of course, not simply so we can sit back and enjoy the show Jesus gives as he roasts these Pharisees and scribes. Because as we've read it, it's been obvious, hasn't it? These aren't simply first century problems. There are lessons for us today. And for a start, as we've considered really, much in religion, even in church life, can appear impressive and learned and be widely respected. But Jesus is saying, look closely, or maybe listen closely. Are they paying attention to the scriptures? And if they are, there'll be one obvious way. Are they making much of Jesus and pointing to him? Where do they want the attention? On themselves? Or are they pointing away to the king and the way into the kingdom? But let's make sure, of course, that we hear the challenge to us as well. As a church and individually, what marks us and our ministries? Does it all flow from listening, paying attention to what God says? So therefore, what are we doing? Who do we point people towards? Towards ourselves or quickly to Jesus, knowing that he's the one in whom is rescue from God's judgment and all the wonderful blessings of God's kingdom? Well, let's pray as we close. Our Father, we do pray you'd help us to learn from what Jesus says here and to put it into practice. Would we listen to all you have to say? So come to Jesus ourselves and then direct others too towards him. Would we be truthful in all we do? Because we know you, the God of truth. And we ask for your help in this, in Jesus' name. Amen.